How's everybody doing? How's the post-Easter chocolate eggs? How many people have scoffed all their chocolate eggs already? Excellent, excellent. Who keeps their eggs for the longest? Flick. How long do you keep your eggs for?
At least 3 weeks.
3 weeks. That's very commendable. Anyone longer than 3 weeks?
Christmas.
Wow, that's very a lot of self-control. I haven't got that amount of self-control at all. So, as we heard last week, we had the story, the amazing story of the resurrection. And Sarah was talking to us about what happened between the two gardens. Those of you that weren't here, you can listen to the talk online. Those of you that were here, you can remember. But it's great to just recap, isn't it? We've looked this morning about the amazing story, and we heard that what started in one garden and then ended in another garden when there was a revelation to a woman called Mary. And if you remember on that first Sunday morning, that very first Sunday morning after Jesus had died, a group of women went to the tomb. They weren't happy. They weren't expecting anything good. They were sad. They were upset. They were going to look after and care for the body because their Savior, the person they thought was going to rescue them, had died. And we heard the story of when they went, they were thinking and talking amongst themselves, how are we going to take away the stone? How are we going to actually get to the body to put the spices on the body? And when they got there, they were confronted with a lot of different things that were surprising, that were astonishing, but they didn't totally understand everything. One of them was that the stone had been rolled away. That was the first thing. Another thing was that the soldiers were not there. They weren't going to have to try and fight the soldiers and try and get to the body. And the other thing that was even more astonishing was that the tomb was empty. There was nothing inside. Just the grave clothes were folded. And these women were like, they met with angels. Angels have come to them and says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. And they were given the good news to go and tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. So what did they do? They ran and they told the disciples. And what did the disciples, did they celebrate? No, they didn't believe them, did they? They didn't believe them. And the Bible tells us that Peter and John decided to go and check it out for themselves. So Peter and John, on what the women had told them, these women that had been to the tomb, they go to the tomb. And the Bible tells us that they're having like a race. It's like a race and they're running to the tomb. And one of them gets there first and doesn't go in. And then Peter gets there second. And then he goes in and looks. And he doesn't see the body. And he doesn't understand. But he meets an angel again who says the same thing to him and says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And what happens is Mary Magdalene, one of the ladies, follows Peter and John back to the tomb. And when Peter and John get there and they meet the angels and then they run off again back to the disciples, Mary stays in the garden. And this is what we were hearing about last week, where the story of the two gardens ends there, but the story is only just beginning. Because Mary is upset. She's distraught. She's still unhappy about the fact that Jesus, the person that she loved, had died. And she thinks a gardener has taken the body. And in her upset and in her crying, she says to the gardener, please, you know, if you've taken the body, please give him back. And the gardener, who we know is Jesus, just says her name. And as soon as she hears the name, and we heard last week how no one else called her like that. No one else said her name with such tenderness and such love. And he just said, Mary. And she turns around and she realizes. She has that amazement, more amazing than all those tricks that we saw, more amazing than the quadrillion ants. Who's counted all those ants, by the way? Doesn't everyone wonder who counted all the ants? And more amazing than all those facts is that Jesus is alive. And she wants to hold on to him and she wants to grab him. Sarah was telling us that she was in the middle. She wanted to stay with Jesus, but he said, go and tell my disciples that you have seen me. And so Mary is given the news, the greatest truth ever is given to Mary. She's the first person to have this life-changing, historical, changing event is given to her. And she's encouraged to go and share it with the disciples. And she goes and tells the disciples that she has discovered who Jesus, that Jesus is alive. And as she does that, so also we're told in the Bible that two other women meet with Jesus on the way when they're either traveling back to and from the tomb. Jesus appears in Matthew 28. It tells us that Jesus appears to two other women as well. So we've got Mary Magdalene, who gets to hear the good news about Jesus. And she's told to go back to the disciples and tell them. And again, they don't quite believe her. They don't quite believe her. And we'll look at that in the next few weeks as we unravel the story of what happened next. And these other two women are told, and they meet with Jesus as well. And Jesus gives them the good news and says, go and share it. And they go back to the disciples, and again, the disciples don't believe it. So what happens next in the story? What happens that means that we come to where we are today? And as we look in the next few weeks, there are so many great things that happen. You know, when Jesus came back to life, he rewrote the rules of life. He changed everything. You know, we had an example last week where it says that Jesus went through the tunnel of death and he trusted God that God would be with him, and he came through it out the other side. And Jesus has completely changed everything. He's changed everything about life and death. We don't need to fear death anymore. We don't need to be afraid of things that are going on in our lives. Jesus came to die. We know that, and we have that story, and we know about that now, and that's why we're here today. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power. But at that moment, the people who know it are Mary Magdalene and a group of other women, and no one else believes them. And that's where we're up to. So what happened next? What is God going to do to get this story out there, this greatest event that's ever happened? What is he going to do to get this amazing event out there so people can begin to know what is going on and what is happening? And today's story for us is all about a journey. Today's story begins with a journey. There's the tomb. Life all about. What is the journey that we are on? You know, and there are many films that are made about this, just a few that we can have here. They're all about the journey, the road, where we're going. Who remembers Planes, Trains and Automobiles back from the, that's a well-known film that we had, or Rain Man, or even the Muppets are on a journey. Everybody's on a journey. Where are we going? What's the point of life? And the Lloyd's TSB there said, we're helping our customers for the journey. And we're all on a journey of life, aren't we? We're all on a journey of traveling along. We're in Swansea at this time, and we want to understand, what is it all about? And this morning, we want to pick up on two people that were on a journey. Two people on that afternoon, they'd been with the group, they'd been with all the people who had heard from the ladies that Jesus was not in the tomb, that Jesus was back from the dead from the angels, but they decided to go on a journey. And in Luke chapter 24, we understand the story where one of them is named as Cleopas and one of them is not named. And one of them is Cleopas, as we know, and we can talk about who the other one was, but maybe he's not named because we can put our place in there. Because as we're going to discover, the journey that these two were on is a journey that all of us have been on and are continually on. And there's lots of encouragements that we can get from the story about the journey that these people were on, for the journey, and also for our own journey and our own discovery of faith and life in Jesus Christ. So they were on the way to Emmaus, as we understand here. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. Why were they going away from a group of people that they were with? You know, the Bible tells us as we read the story that as they left Jerusalem to go to Emmaus, they were not in a good place. They weren't happy. They weren't filled with joy. They weren't with, I've heard the news about Jesus. They didn't really understand. They were overcome. It says they were overcome with grief. They were overcome with fear. They were troubled. They were upset. They still didn't understand everything. And so the first point that I think is really helpful for us is, why were they leaving the security of their friends and their relationships? You know, we all have challenges in life, don't we? Some of you this week have got the challenge of childcare. You know, you're back at work and you've got children off school and you've got chocolate and you've got holidays and you've got rain and it's still too cold. And how do you juggle everything in a family when you've got all those different dynamics? There's pressure at work, pressure at church, different things that are going on in your family. How do you juggle everything? Sometimes we can get focused in what we're doing. And this is where these two were. But they were walking away from a group that also shared their same feelings. And one of my encouragements is to us is when we go through the challenging times, when we go through those situations where maybe we're under a little bit of pressure, don't be tempted to wander away from the group. Because that's what these two were doing. These two had wandered away. There was a group of people, the 11 disciples, the women, and he tells us there were other groups of people who all loved Jesus. They understood a little bit about him. They loved him. They'd been with him, but they didn't quite understand everything. But there is strength, isn't there, when we're together with people. And when we're going through our challenging times, actually we want to draw on the strength of the people around us, don't we? We don't want to isolate ourselves. We don't want to move away from the security that we can find in strength, in friendship, and in unity. That's what church is about. That's why we're in relationships together, because we can give each other that strength and that friendship when we're going through these challenging times. So they're on this road to Emmaus, and as they're walking along, we discover that Jesus himself comes alongside them. Now, the great thing about this is that the Bible tells us what's going to happen, but these two don't know it yet. This is one of the exciting things about this story. They don't know who's with them, but we do. And it's great. Now, often we think of Jesus, I don't know about you, but you know, when you're a child, we think of Jesus as walking around with a halo on his house. How did they did not recognize him? You know, did he walk around with a halo? Ooh, I've come into the room. In Isaiah, it tells us this: there was nothing attractive about him and nothing to cause us to take a second look. Or in another version, it says, there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. Jesus was God. Jesus was the Son of God, and he came as a man. But as a man, he was a normal, ordinary man. He didn't walk around with a halo. He didn't have this aura and this invincibility about him as he just moved around. He was just an ordinary man. He slept, he ate, he talked. And as we read the Bible, he tells us that he was an ordinary person. And he went through the emotions, and he had the same physical body that we have. Although now he's come back from the dead, he's got a slightly different physical body, the new physical body. But they didn't know. Now, it got me to thinking, does this happen today? Do people not recognize other people? Do we often struggle to see who people are? And it got me to thinking, you know, I have a friend of mine, and she was working in London, and she got tickets to go and see a special charity event for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And she got these tickets, and she was going to take her son to go and see this event. So it was in the evening, so she'd been at work, she works for a PR company, and she got these tickets, and her son, it was in the evening, it was winter time, so they were in their coats, all smartly dressed from work. And they went to go to this charity event. Now, this charity event was a big event. There were lots of people invited. Lots of companies and corporations were invited. But also there were some special people invited. Now, she tells the story that she didn't know how it happened, but somehow as she was kind of going and queuing to go in, she ended up on the wrong side of the fence. And what happened was this person came out and said, right, you people come with me. And they ushered her into the event, into the arena. And she was starting to give some details. Now, some of the details she were given, she realized that they think I'm part of the security. She was in the security detail. And she was like, how did I get here? So she didn't say anything. She just stayed there. She was smartly, maybe because she was smartly dressed in a nice coat and looked like she was part of the security. I don't know. So she's ushered into this security event. And then they're all given instructions. So you people are going to go here. This is what you're going to do. And she's given a set of instructions with some other people. And then she's told, right, you go into this room. So she walks into this room and there's champagne and nice music. And all this event is going on. She doesn't realize what's going on. So she just gets talking to a few people. And she's talking to a couple of gentlemen. And they're saying, oh, you know, this Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, it's a lovely event, isn't it? It's great. Now, I didn't know this, but the person who wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is also the author of The Bond. It's Ian Fleming. I didn't know that. Nor did she. So she's talking to these two gentlemen, and one of them says, oh, you know, why are you here? And she said, I work for a company. I got invited to the event. And he said, do you know that in this room there's some famous people? And she's like, really? Who's in the room? And he said, well, over there, there's Cameron McIntosh. He's the guy who wrote the play, Chitty Chitty Bang. Oh, that's surprising. So he's drinking a champagne, having a nice time. And he says, do you know what? Actually, over there, because it's Ian Fleming, because it's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, they've invited some of the Bond people. And over there, there's Roger Moore. And she's like, oh, yeah, I recognize him. Oh, I remember him. He was a good Bond. So she's talking away to this person. And then they're talking. And she says, you know what? Actually, I'm not a big fan of Bond. I'm here for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I like all the children's stories and things like that. I'm not very much a fan of Bond. I think they're a bit overrated and all these kind of things. So then the gentleman she's talking to says to her, what do you do? She said, well, I work for a PR company. We're here advertising. We do a lot of stuff in London. And she said, so what do you do? And he said, oh, my name's Timothy Dalton. Those of you that don't know, Timothy Dalton was one of the Bonds. And she was talking to this person, and she didn't even realize who it was she was talking to. She was in an event that she didn't kind of fully understand, and she didn't recognize this star that she was talking to. Even this week, I don't know if you heard this, I heard this on the radio. There was a bit of a controversy because they were talking about the fact that Johnny Depp had been seen going in to get a pint of bitter in a pub in Hampshire. And they were thinking he's going to move into Hampshire. And there was even a photo. There he is in the newspaper this week. A fresh start. Johnny Depp sparks rumours he's moved into the New Forest after popping into Lymington Pub for a pint. But people were saying, was it really him? Was it someone in disguise? We don't know. We live in a world, don't we, where there's lots of times when we can miss who they are. And that's what happened to these two men. They didn't get who was walking with them. They didn't fully understand, but they were on a journey and they were about to discover something that was special. So as they start out on this journey, they begin to talk to Jesus and they begin to tell him, they say to him, he says to them, why are you so upset? What's the problem? What's going on? And they say, don't you know? Don't you understand what's been happening? Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know? And they begin to share their hearts. They begin to tell Jesus some of the things that are troubling them. What I like about this is, another thing just to draw out is this. Jesus came to them where they are, didn't he? They were on a journey. They were walking away from their security and their friends and people who loved them and people who understood what they were going through. They were isolating themselves and Jesus went looking for them. Jesus joined them where they are. Jesus didn't come in and say, quick, let's go back and be with the disciples. No, he joined them where they were. He met them where they were and he carried on walking with them. Isn't that great? Because that's what Jesus does. He finds us where we are. We're all in this room. Adam asked us earlier, what's something amazing? Well, for me, one of the most amazing things is that Jesus, who came back to life, who is God, would love me. He loves me. He loves you. Isn't that great? And he wants to be in relationship with me. And he wants to walk through life with me. And that's something that's amazing. And so this Jesus comes and meets all of us where we are. And he helps us to discover. So with these two, he meets them where they're at. And he goes on the journey with them where they're going. They didn't realize that the actual person they were talking about was standing with them. Sometimes we can get so caught up in what's going on. And that's why, again, friends and family and church family are so important, because they help us to see sometimes beyond the situation that we're in, don't they? We can get challenged by situations. It's real life. Life is tough sometimes. And we get challenged and we get focused on what's going on in our world. And sometimes we need people to help us to open our eyes a little bit bigger and see what's going on. And they needed that. But you know, while they were walking along, they didn't really understand who Jesus was fully. Because when they talk and they start to say to Jesus, there was this man called Jesus. So they're telling Jesus about himself. Don't you think that's funny? He's like, I think I know him. It's me. But anyway, he doesn't tell them yet. It's a surprise. So they're talking to Jesus and they're telling him about him. And they say he's a prophet. He's a great teacher. Now, when we read these words, we begin to understand they didn't fully understand who Jesus was. Because what they were expecting Jesus to do was to come and set them free from the Roman Empire. They hoped Jesus would set them free. They hoped that Jesus would deliver Israel. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. So they understood the scriptures and they wanted this Jesus to set them free from the Roman Empire, to set them free to have their own land and be their own people and not be under slavery. And they were looking in a certain direction. But Jesus did come and do those things, but not in the way they expected. And because it didn't happen in the way they were expecting, they missed some of the things that Jesus was doing. They thought that he was going to come and set them free. They understood their Bible, their interpretation up to a point, but they didn't have the full picture. In fact, Jesus did come to set them free, but he didn't come to set them free from the political, military system that they thought. He came to set them free from something far greater, and that's slavery to sin. He came to set them free from death that was going to entrap them, to give them new life. And that's the amazing thing that these people are about to ask. And so as we go along, Jesus asks, who is this Jesus? What happened? And they tell them that Jesus had died and Jesus was buried. And then they tell Jesus that some women have gone to the tomb And we don't even understand what happened this morning, because women went to the tomb and they told us that the tomb is empty and there's no body, and it's amazing because the angels have told them that Jesus is alive, and we don't understand it. And as they talk and as they share, they begin to offload their problems onto Jesus, and they share their problems with Jesus. That's another thing about the body of the church. You know, we're here to do life together, aren't we? And we can share the challenges that we have with one another. We can share them with Jesus. We can tell Jesus. There's nothing too difficult that you can tell Jesus. There's nothing too heavy or too pressurized or too challenging that you can't share with Jesus. And these two, even though they're feeling sad and upset and worried and they're disappointed and low expectation, they don't understand, they're able to still tell Jesus and give it to Jesus. That's the most important thing to do. Sometimes we carry our baggage, don't we? Maybe that's just, I think I do. Sometimes I try and sort my own problems out, my own challenges. I try and do it myself. Whereas actually the easiest thing to do is to come and bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, please deal with this, because I can't deal with it anymore. And Jesus wants us to do that. Jesus wants us to bring the challenges to him so that he can deal with them. So what happens? Well, Jesus says this. Now, there's a very interesting point here, and I'm just going to make it. The Bible says that he says, you foolish people. Now, it's really important, and we'll come back to this in a minute. It's really important that we understand Scripture importantly. Now, is Jesus saying they are foolish and foolish in the way that we understand it? Well, there's another story in Matthew chapter 5. Those of you that know your Bible, Jesus says, don't call someone a fool. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, don't call somebody a fool. So why is Jesus calling them foolish here? And then a bit earlier on in his ministry, he said, don't call someone a fool here. It's really interesting. And when you read, those two words are two different Greek words. The first one in Matthew 5 is a word that we would associate with having contempt of someone, looking down on someone, being arrogant over someone, having an opinion and a superiority over someone. That's the fool word that we interpret as fool. Here, Jesus is using a word, but really actually kind of interpreted means thoughtless. They're not thinking right. So what he's saying, when Jesus says, you foolish people, he's not saying you fools. What he's saying is, you're not thinking straight. You're not believing straight. You haven't got your thoughts in the right way. That's what he's saying. That's the word, the Greek word. It's a very different word. So therefore, we understand that what we thought Scripture might be saying, and it might be contradicting itself, it's not. It's just a different Greek word, but we get it translated in English as fool. So it's important to understand that. So what he's saying is, you're not quick to understand. You're not quick to perceive what's going on. And he says, wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before going to his glory? And Jesus, as he talks and on the journey, he begins to explain and reveal a bit more of the true understanding of the Bible to them as they're on the journey. You know, they thought they wanted a rescuer. They thought that they wanted someone who was going to set them free. They didn't totally understand the Bible, but like all of us, we all want a rescuer, but Jesus wanted to show them what his true understanding of a rescuer is. And being rescued is something that we all associate. Let's watch this little clip. There's a lady in this clip who certainly needs to be rescued. You know, we all want to be rescued, don't we? And these two wanted to be rescued, and Jesus is explaining to them that he was rescuing them, but not in the way that they understood it. And so we come to nearly the end of the story, and we're about to get to the most surprising bit. They're about to discover. Now, the great thing is, again, we know what's going to happen, but they didn't. And it's difficult sometimes to imagine what it was like. But I think all of us can remember what it was like to be surprised. Hopefully some of us, most of us, have at some point been a nicely surprised at some point. Has that happened to you? Most of you? I remember when Helen and I were about to go to Uganda back in 2008. And all we knew was that there was a church night on the Sunday night, a worship event. So we knew about it and we knew it was in the schedule. And we came up to the building. And if you were here, you remember that night. For me, it was like, it was amazing. Because we walked in the door. And when we walked in the door, the church had been planning a surprise leaving party for us. And they'd been planning it for 6 months. And it had been happening secretly. And everybody knew about it apart from us. And we didn't know. And there was food. And there was music. And there was people. And it was lovely. Well, the room was amazing. And we just thought we were arriving for some normal church event, which was a great event. But to open a door and see surprise. It's brilliant, isn't it? It's great being surprised. Isn't it great? I like being surprised. It's also great giving the surprise, isn't it? And I'm sure by now, Jesus is getting really excited. I mean, and it doesn't say that, but I'm sure he's getting excited because he's like, these guys are getting it, and they're about to get it completely. They're nearly there. They're nearly through their journey of revelation and understanding everything. And we're about to come to the point where Jesus is going to tell them what's happening. Now, what happens is this. We get to the place in Emmaus where these people are going to stop. And Jesus kind of gives the impression that he wants to carry on walking. They say, no, 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 you've got to come. You've got to stay with us. Do you see what's happened? When they started the journey, when Jesus met with them, they were sad, disappointed. It's important to understand the emotions. They were sad, disappointed, frustrated, lack of understanding. As they get to Emmaus, where they're going to be, they're already beginning to say, no, Jesus, you stay with us. There's something happening. Their faith is stirring inside of them. And the Bible tells us a bit later that their faith was beginning to burn like a fire in their soul. Something was already moving. They were getting, they didn't quite know yet fully, but something was happening. So they say to Jesus, no, you come and stay and come and just share a meal with us. So Jesus goes in and they just do ordinary life together. What do? They decide to have a meal. Now, it wasn't the Lord's Supper. They just decided to have some food. But there was bread at the table, as there would have been in all the Jewish meals. And so they decide to do a meal together. And as they have this meal together, Jesus does three things. He takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he shares the bread. Three just simple things. Prayed, broke the food, shared it with them. But that very act of what he was doing was like the final revelation. It was the final moment of what was about to happen. And as he did those things in the normal everyday of a meal, in the normal everyday in these two people's houses, in one of the houses of these two people, in that moment, their eyes were opened. Because they remembered back to the Thursday night. Remember, it's only Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. They remembered back to Thursday evening when Jesus had done the same thing before he died. They remembered that he told them that when I break this bread, it's my body. They remembered that actually the breaking of the bread symbolized that Jesus was going to be broken for them. When he broke it and blessed it and gave it to them, they remember that Jesus had given his life for them. And in an instant, in a moment, all of these things became revelation and they understood. And the Bible says their eyes were open. It's really him! Jesus is right there with them. Now, I don't know about you, but the next bit would have gone, I'd have been, oh my word, because what happens, the Bible says, Jesus vanishes immediately. He goes. Once they've got it, once they've understood, once they have had the revelation, they've understood who Jesus was, that he had risen from the dead. That's the great news. That's the great event. That's the news that we want to tell everybody about. Once they got it, Jesus' work had done with these two. And he vanishes. And what do they do? What do they do? Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. At that moment, he disappeared. That must have been, oh, Jesus, I can't believe it. Just when we understand it's really you and we can apologize and we can say, oh, I can't believe it, he goes. But this is what they do. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back. They found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them and said, the Lord has really risen. You know, when they first go, when they're walking to Emmaus, they're going slow. It's a long journey. The Bible tells us now that they got their Alan Woodward shoes on and they bolted it back 7 miles. Now, this is 7 miles. Now, I can't run 7 miles. I know Alan can, but I can't run 7 miles. They must have sped as quick as possible. No cars, no whatever. And they must have been tired after a long day and all their emotions are all over the place. But they did it. They got their shoes on and they ran back 7 miles to tell everybody. When we understand who Jesus is, when we get it that he loves us, that news is not to be kept to ourselves, is it? It's the best news ever. That there is someone that loves us, that someone that went through that tunnel of death for us because of their love. Someone that wants to come and live within us through the power of the Holy Spirit to do life with us. That's the best news ever. And these two understood in that moment, I need to share it. I need to go and tell all the others. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take us. It doesn't matter what we've done. We need to go and tell others what has happened. They need to go and reveal it to some of the others. So what can we take away from this story? What can we learn for ourselves about our journey of life? Well, the first thing is that as they were going on a journey of life, our lives are one of constant revelation. As they walked on their journey, these two were constantly being revealed about from Jesus. Jesus was revealing himself to them. And we're all on a journey of discovering more about Jesus. What does that mean? Well, we understand the truths that Jesus died for us and that he loves us. But there's so much more to learn and to grow in our relationship. It's like with our marriages. We don't just get married on the first day of our marriage. Yesterday, Aaron and Teresa had their wedding day. It was on Friday, actually, wasn't it? Friday. You don't just get married and say, right, that's it. It's the beginning of a journey of life together. And the same with our relationship with Jesus. It's the beginning of a journey together where we're understanding and growing and having revelation. And this is just a simple thing that I found helpful, that there's the revealing, there's the listening, and it gives us a bit of an understanding in the middle. There's understanding comes from Jesus revealing through his Holy Spirit. We listen to what he said through the Bible, through other people, and it helps us to grow in our understanding. And we want to grow. We can grow. Jesus wants us to understand. God is revealing his glory to us, who he is. It's more about what God is like and who he is. That's what we're growing on. So, lessons from the journey. The first one is this. Jesus is always with us. These two people, all of that 7 miles that they walked back, they didn't realize who was with them. Jesus says, and we're going to look at that in a few weeks' time, the last thing that Jesus said before he goes up to heaven is, I will be with you always. And he's playing that out here in the journey with these two men on the Sunday afternoon, that very first Sunday in Easter. He's playing that out with them. I am with you, even when you don't realize. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that comforting? For me, that's a great source of hope. You know, often we don't think that Jesus is with us. We're busy and life again can crowd us and we get preoccupied and sometimes we just get focused on what we're doing. But it's always encouraging just to stop and go, whatever I'm doing, Jesus is always with me. Whether I'm having a baby, the two fathers are sitting there, Jesus is with you. Whether you are working hard and you're having to travel away from home for work, Jesus is with you. Whether you are meeting people or going out for a coffee, Jesus is with you. Whether you're in your family and your children are not quite doing the things that you'd like them to do, Jesus is with you in every situation. For me, that's a great story. That's a great encouragement. It's a great source of hope. It's a great comfort to us that whatever situation we're in, Jesus is always with us. He's with us through his Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of Jesus in our lives is a gift to us to do life in the normal everyday like he did with these two. And we can begin to see that in what we do. The second thing is this. There's the bigger picture. Jesus reveals the true understanding of Scripture and the Bible. Sometimes we can read the Bible and we go, I don't quite understand that. Isn't that true? Now, often we can say, that's because there's something wrong in the Bible. That's not true. That's not true. It's just our lack of understanding or we're not fully had a good understanding of what's in the Bible. Because the Bible is God's word to us. It's the written word. It's the living word. And it reveals God and it reveals Jesus. And Jesus was explaining to them that you thought I was a prophet and a master and a teacher and those things were good. You thought I was coming to save you from the political military world. I am a prophet. I am a teacher, but actually I'm your Messiah. I'm your Savior. And I'm not coming to save you from forces of human nature. I'm coming to save you from forces of evil and the darkness and slavery of sin and death. And he explained it to them. And Jesus reveals the true understanding of the Bible. And the Bible isn't full of contradictions like some people think. And that's why I talked earlier about the word foolish. We can look at it and go, Jesus says, don't say foolish. And then he calls those people foolish. How does that work? But if we look into the Bible, we study it a little bit more, then we can begin to understand what it's saying. And we realize there is no contradiction. It's just that our perceived lack of understanding thinks there's a contradiction. Does that make sense? Now let me give you, I was talking to Rachel Richards earlier this week, and she said that when they were growing up And it was time for children to go. You know, when children go to bed, they don't want to go to bed, do they? They want to stay up and stay up a bit longer and stay up a bit longer. I can see some mothers smiling. That resonates with some mothers here. And she said that when they were growing up and it was time for bed, they would go to bed. But as they were being tucked into bed by their father, they would deliberately ask Julian some deep theological questions. Because they knew that it was like dog to a bone. Is that right? Dog, bone to a dog, whatever way around it is. It was like, oh, I'm going to answer that. So they would deliberately ask Julian some deep theological issues, and he would have to explain something for a long period of time, and guess what? Their bedtime got extended, and they wouldn't have to go to bed. Now, that's a simple illustration, but there are people who understand the Bible more than we do. And God doesn't want us to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to go, oh, I just don't understand that. I don't understand what it says about that. God wants us to discover what he's saying in Jesus. And so there are people in this church, obviously Julian and Sarah, people like Mike Kelly, Adam, other people, John Richards, people who know the scriptures. You can ask them some of the more difficult questions because you want to grow in your understanding. Not because you want to confirm a contradiction, but because you want to say, I don't understand that bit. I want to understand it more. And God gives us people that can help us. So if there are parts of the Bible that you don't understand, don't worry about it. These people didn't understand it. We're all on a journey. But don't just say, okay, I'll stay here. Take the journey of asking someone to explain some of those things. That's why we have small groups, because we can discuss some of the things in small group. And the chances are that people in our small group that we talk with and we share with, we'll get the answer. We'll understand. The Holy Spirit will reveal through one another some of the things that we can understand more about the Bible. And the last thing is this. Jesus wants us to discover more and more about who he is and more about him. You know, it's always about Jesus. Recently in our small groups, and I'll just finish with this, we've been doing the Walk Across the Room series. Just walk across the room. Now, that's not just a good tool to do in our small groups. It's a reminder that all of us are on this journey. And some of us are on this journey, and there are people that we know, some of our neighbours and our friends, and they're also on a journey. And it's an encouragement to us to help people to understand there's more to discover about Jesus. You know, in all of our lives, and as a church, and as small groups, and as a family, and as people on our own, there's always more to discover. God wants to reveal himself to us. These two people, they'd been with Jesus. They knew him. They'd seen him do miracles. They'd seen and watched him teach. We don't know exactly when they joined the group, but we understand that they were part of the group, the wider group of people that hung around with Jesus. So they knew him, but there was more to discover. They were on a journey, and there was more to grow in. And so just to encourage you that when we do these series and things like that, they're things that we can use to help people to encounter Jesus more. It's all about pointing people to Jesus, helping people to discover more of who he is and the plans and purposes that he has for their lives. The series that we do, the things that we say, the events that we put on, they're all about helping people to be on the journey and to discover more revelation of more of who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing. So as we conclude, and we're just going to pray together, let me just encourage you that wherever stage you're at on your journey of life, whatever stage we're on in journey of faith, some of us are on a journey of coming to faith, some of us are on a journey of discovering more about the Bible, some of us are on a journey of doing life and seeing how everything works together, we're all on the journey somewhere. Jesus is always with us. Be encouraged. Be comforted. Allow that hope. You know, these people, they'd lost all hope. Jesus, and suddenly he'd been put on a cross and died. But the most amazing thing that ever happened in the whole of history is that Jesus came back to life. And that amazing fact, that amazing event, took all their lack of hope and gave them a new hope and gave them a complete hope. So we can always have that hope with us. And the second thing is that this book is to be discovered and grown in, and we can understand more of Jesus through as we read the Bible. And the third thing is that God is looking to constantly reveal more of himself to us. He's for us and not against us. He's with us. He wants to walk with us through our lives day by day. And we can be so encouraged by that, that God is looking to show more of his love to us, show more of his character to us, show more of who he is to us. So let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to be with these two right where they were. And we just want to say thank you that you have met with each of us where we are. You want to meet us where we are in the normal life that we live. In the ordinary things of our lives, you come alongside us and you're with us. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are revealing more of yourself to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to teach us to know more of you, to love you more, to follow you more, to understand more of your love for us and your plans and your purposes for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God, the Bible. It's not just a good book. It's a living, breathed Word of God that gives us instructions, that gives us hope, that gives us comfort, that gives us source of encouragement, that speaks to us about Jesus, that tells us about you. We thank you that you've given us that book and we can read it freely. So Lord Jesus, as these two were on a journey of revelation and discovering that what they thought had happened hadn't actually happened, you'd come back to life. And then they shared it with their friends. Help us on our journeys to know more of your revelation and to share it with as many people, this great news that Jesus is alive, to share it with everybody because it's worth telling. Thank you, Lord. Amen.